Welcome to the Peace Apostolic Ministries podcast. For more information about Peace or other resources from John Alley, visit peace.org.au. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at our website, peace.org.au/give, or use the donate button in our app. Thanks for joining with us today. We hope you enjoy the following message.
I just want to go back to those prayers that John was encouraging us to pray a couple of weeks ago. And particularly, there's a component of that prayer. And I know sometimes when we're sitting in a congregational environment, there's distractions and, you know, our mind goes different places. But what I want to talk to you about this morning is something that affects everyone on the planet. And the sense I have this morning is God wants to give us a deeper understanding. And so that's not going to come by any clever words that I might think up. But in Paul's prayer, you know, he asks for the spirit of wisdom and understanding, that we might know him better. And then he prays this prayer that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened. Now, this is not just, you know, a study thing. This is the Spirit of God opening something to us that we haven't been able to comprehend by our own natural thinking. So I would invite you to pray this with me this morning so that we can really receive what God's got for us. So, Father, we take hold of your word. And as the apostle prayed for the church, Lord, we recognize our own need. Lord, we need your spirit to come this morning and to give us wisdom and revelation. And we ask, Lord, even now you would open the eye of our heart, Lord, that we might know your purposes. Your holy word may come alive to us. And so, Lord, I pray for all those gathered here today. I ask your mighty hand to rest upon them. And in the name of Jesus, we take authority over every scheme of the enemy to distract, to deceive. We rebuke and bind every spirit that would try to hinder. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and fill this place with your wonderful holy presence. It worked. Most of us, been around the church for a while, would be very acquainted with this verse right at the start of the Bible. The two verses that go prior to this speak about the state of things before God spoke. And it uses such terminology as the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. What does your mind even think of? What was he trying to describe? See, I think what pops up into most of our minds is that there was this dark ball. I don't know. Is that what you think? Just a dark ball floating around in space. But really, you haven't got a clue, have you? But what we know about it is it had no form. And if you're going to study some of these words, it's like something just fluttering in nothingness and darkness. Now, what I want to try and move your hearts with, God help me, when God spoke, atmosphere changed. And this is what I want to try and get at by the end of this message, because we're going to do some praying, but we need to try and take you to a place where you're going to believe something. So out of this void, darkness, no form, when God speaks, the atmosphere is changed and order is established. How was it established? And God said, let there be. And see, we sit back and say, yeah, that was God. What I'm talking to you about is the power of words. In the beginning was the Word. We're jumping into John, and he's talking about Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The Word was Jesus Christ. The Word was God, and in the beginning he existed. And so it's a little bit hard to wrap our mind around these things, that the Word, the Logos, which is something said, including thought. So way back in the beginning, there was Jesus. And how was everything created? Not just bringing the earth into form, but every time God spoke, something changed. Something was brought into being that didn't exist before. Yeah, that was God, though. What we really got to push this back into is the power of our words. Now, a little bit of light entertainment here. Well, not quite. This is the sort of the overriding problem. Most people do not understand how powerful my words are. Research shows that the average person speaks at least 7,000 words a day, with many speaking much more than that. Now, ladies, I need to confess, I used to stand here and make a comment about ladies speaking a lot more, but apparently there is absolutely no research to prove that. Just experience. Anyway, it's beside the point. Sure, it's beside the point. Let's just say there's a lot of words spoken every day by every person, right? We know that. And this is saying at least. So there's some thought. Think about what that means to you. Those 7,000 words at least you speak each day. Look at this. Are your imprint on the world. I want this to go deep. Because if every day we're spraying these words around. Now, these figures are a little bit loose because people keep getting born and dying all the time. But there's about 7.6 billion people in the world. 74% of them are over the age of 14. And we do know that children start to speak at about 2 or 3. So this is conservative figures. So 74% of 7.6 billion is 5.624, if you want to get precise. Speak a minimum of 7,000 words per day. We end up with 39.4 trillion words per day. Where are those words going? Into the atmosphere. There are conservatively 44,000 radio stations and 27,831 TV channels worldwide. Some of those are broadcasting 24 hours a day. Words. Words. Not to mention you add on your CDs, your MP3s, your YouTube and a plus, 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 plus. The atmosphere is full of noise and words. I think I mentioned to you a few weeks ago, I go to the gym and I try to block the noise out because they don't play any music that I really like. But one day, I suddenly heard these words coming, and they were vile. They weren't just a little bit crude, they were vile. And this had been pumped out through the gym, but there's people who put their headphones on and pump that into their heads. So the reality is, every moment of every day, this atmosphere is full of words. Here's some more things to just ponder. How many of those words that we spoke yesterday made a difference to those around us? A positive difference. How many of those words served little or no purpose at all? A bit hard to measure that. Here's a few quotes. Words are, and after Philip's sermon last week, in my not so humble opinion, a most inexhaustible source of magic, capable of both inflicting injury and remedying it. This is some guy called Albus Dumbledore. Words can inspire and words can destroy. Choose yours well. Words so powerful, they can crush a heart or heal it. They can shame a soul or liberate it. They can shatter dreams or energize them. They can obstruct connection or invite it. They can create defenses or melt them. We have to use our words wisely. Tongue has no bones, but is strong enough to break a heart. Be careful. Do you notice these are all worldly quotes, but do you notice there's a common understanding in the world of the power of words? And these guys are all saying, be careful how you use your words. So maybe we need to think a little bit about what the Bible says, because we're Christians here and we're supposed to live by a different order. So after God created everything and declared it to be good, you know, God, he does a good job. And every time he made something, he said it was good. And then when he made man, he said it was very good. But then God blessed them. I always found this a bit interesting, that if God's made these perfect beings and he said they're very good, but he still blessed them. And this was what he said to them. Again, you see, spoke. Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Now, just stop for a moment. When God said, let there be light, what happened? So when God speaks, it happens. Do you believe it? When he speaks, it happens. So what happened here? He spoke over them and he said things. So what? It was. Do you understand? It was. It was God's intention that man was to rule over his creation. Blessing is merely words spoken. And so right from the beginning of time, words were used to bless. So I don't know if you recognize those guys. That's supposed to be Aaron. And God told these dudes through Moses, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. And what were they going to do? Say to them. Going to speak. Probably know the scripture. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Words. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. It's a promise. It's probably still a lot of churches more traditional always end up with the priest's blessing at the end or the minister's blessing. And the problem with tradition is that you can forget how important and how effective something is if you understand it. What I'm trying to get to you to sort of understand more deeply today is you, every one of you, when you open your mouth, you say words. Most of the time. And those words are going to have an effect. And as we go through these scriptures, you'll see that there's really only two effects you're going to get from words. Here's some proverbs. Look, this is a massive topic, and if you went and did your own studies in the scriptures, you'd find there is so much being said about this. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. If you go and study that, that is not a good thing, okay? It's not a good thing. But the fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. A fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. Well, I think there's a lot of people get beat up because of their mouths. The words of a gossip are choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. See, when you speak, there are ears that are hearing. And there are more ears that are hearing than you realize. So let's just rewind a little bit back to the beginning. When God spoke, he spoke into an atmosphere because there was nothing else there. And he spoke and there was change, there was order brought. We're living in an atmosphere. And I'm not talking about the nitrogen and the oxygen and the carbon dioxide. If you take your hand, and I know people in church don't like playing these sort of games, but if you take your hand and move it like that, what did you feel? Well, if you didn't move your hand, you didn't feel anything anyway. But if you did that, what do you feel? But if you did it not too close to the person next to you's face, because they would then feel not just the atmosphere, what would you then feel? Or try it to yourself. You're not likely to slap yourself in the face. What do you feel? No, some people just aren't going to play this game. They're just going to do whatever then. What do you feel? How do you know? There's something moving, isn't there? There is something moving. Did you see it move? You felt the result of it. And you're actually moving molecules and atoms, particles, weren't you? The fruit of his mouth. Where did that come from? Ah. The tongue has the power of life and death. This is one you've got to remember. And those who love it will eat of its fruit. Most people probably gone to school and learnt basic science. How does sound move? Oh, he knows. And what is it, Connor? Waves. What sort of waves? Sound waves. But what are those waves actually doing? They're vibrating what? No, they're not vibrating air. They're vibrating molecules and atoms. So when I speak, There's a vibration going out here to your ears. Can you see it? You can hear it. You can't see it. It's in the atmosphere, isn't it? Now, they tell me that if you've got really high-powered radio receivers, you can pick up things in the atmosphere that's sort of going round and round. Is that right? Any science guys around? Is that true, Noel? Yeah. Oh, Dr. Tony's confirming. Good. But see, this stuff's in the atmosphere and it's affecting things. Some words have more power than others. Do you believe that? You know, a word like and. Did that get to you? It's a word. I said it. It's in the atmosphere, but what's it doing? It's not doing much, is it? But what about Jesus? Why? How do you know? Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Now, here's where you've got to put your thinking cap on. At the name of Jesus, I don't know if you notice, but I notice in our worship when we sing the name, atmosphere changes. Has anyone noticed that, or you just like the songs? What else is in the atmosphere? And here we're going to do a little shift that I hope you can move with me. See, the atmosphere isn't just the physical atmosphere, it's the spiritual atmosphere. See, we walk through this air and we know what that's composed of, but what about the spiritual atmosphere? At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. This is a powerful name. It touches and affects everything. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, Tony sometimes gets up here and he says, okay, just say the name of Jesus. And some of us whisper a little bit, you know. You find it difficult to say his name? You say difficult to shout his name? We'll see you later. Now Jesus, one day he's talking to these Pharisees. Remember, these were the good church attenders. These were the ones who knew the Word of God. These are the ones who are very, very religious. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? Just think about this next statement. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. This is Jesus speaking. The good man brings good things out of the good things stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Well, see, before we're saved, we've got evil in us, and out of the overflow of our heart, we say a lot of stuff. A lot of negative stuff, a lot of bad stuff. I just want you to ponder this for a moment, because many years ago, when I was reading the scriptures, this one really hit me between the eyes. So it's just a continuation. But I tell you that men will give an account on the day of judgment for, have a look, every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. I didn't say this, it's the Lord Jesus Christ who said this. Do you think there might be some importance in what we say? You know, it's pretty black and white, isn't it? Well, it's in red and white here, but that's because it's the words of Jesus. So we have atmosphere around us. And our words actually influence and dictate what that atmosphere will be. I don't know if you've ever met a person who is extremely negative. In the course of my life, I've met a few people, and it's nearly like as soon as you get close to them, you can nearly feel the negativity coming off them. You ever experienced anything like that? Now, see, this spiritual atmosphere, I believe, surrounds us. You might have heard me talk before about your sphere of influence. Your immediate sphere of influence is yourself. So when you walk somewhere, you're carrying around you an atmosphere. Some people carry a very heavy atmosphere. And as soon as you come close to them, you can nearly feel it pressuring into your atmosphere. Brothers and sisters, it's words that create that atmosphere. The things you say, the confession of your mouth, what you proclaim, what you're establishing in your own life. Now, I believe when Jesus says things like, you are the light of the world, why is that? It's because we've got Christ in us. When you become a Christian and you yield to Him, you receive Him into yourself. And He starts working in you to fill you up with His presence. All the while the devil tried to make us believe that nothing's really happened and nothing's changed and you can't do anything about anything. It's a lie. If you've got the presence of Christ with you, you carry Him with you. And what do we know about light? It disperses darkness. So really you have this, when you come across someone who is dark in their thinking or negative, you actually have this clash of atmosphere. Now Philip was talking last week about a very important thing. He was talking about how we're not just supposed to bang people over the head. You know, we're not just supposed to give it to them. There's a need for wisdom and discernment. So to me, one of the classic stories in the scripture where this happened was when the woman was caught in adultery. You know, they drag her. I don't know where the guy slipped off to. But they drag her in front of Jesus, quoting the law, quoting the scriptures, and saying, the law says she should be stoned to death. What do you say? He was very, very careful, very slow, very thoughtful. You know, says that he's maybe drawing or writing in the dust. It doesn't give us any idea. I sort of thinking he's saying to the Father, Father, what should I say that's really going to work here? What's really going to split this open and bring freedom? And all he says, see, he doesn't attack them. He doesn't condemn her. he makes this statement right down the middle that says, if there's anyone here without sin, you throw the first stone. How wise. And one by one, they went away. Years ago, I think I've told you this story. It wasn't long after I was baptised in the Holy Spirit, and I was working at the Electricity Commission over in Richardson Road. And I worked with a guy whose wife worshipped at the Cathedral of Praise. And this was around about the time when the TV evangelist Jimmy Swaggart fell from grace. And this guy thought it was a great joke. And that day he came over to me in my lunch break, and at that period of time in my life I used to spend my lunch reading. And he came over and he started laughing and carrying on about Jimmy Swaggart, this and Jimmy Swaggart, and going on and on and on. I'm just sitting there, I'm saying, Lord, give me a wise word. I don't want to defend someone who's done something. It's too often we've done that. All of a sudden, this thought popped into my head. Holy Spirit thought, I believe. I said, you know, Dave, on the day of judgment, Jimmy Swaggart's going to stand before God and God's going to judge him. I said, but Dave, on the day of judgment, you're going to be standing before God and you're not going to be one bit worried about Jimmy Swaggart. That's all I said. He stopped laughing immediately. I said, oh, I suppose you're right, and walked away. I subsequently left the QEC, but I heard some many years later that Dave got saved and he's worships, I believe, at the church that Joan Connell goes to down at Emu Park. Now, Dave knew I was a Christian. That's why he came over to give me a hard time. And he knew my witness. I don't know if that particular thing had any particular significance in his salvation. But all I'm saying is you can get a word that is a spirit word for the time. But it's not a reactive word. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, says Jesus, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. Over the years, as I've grown spiritually, I find that you get confronted by things. And there's been a number of times when I've been in ministry situations and I'm thinking, now Jesus with a word, because it looks like a singular, you know, a word, he drove out the spirits. And he healed all the sick, not just some, all the sick. And I used to struggle and I used to think, well, there was multitudes coming to him. And so I started to study this, you know, and the next verse says, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. You know, Peter quotes this in his letter. On the cross, Jesus bore all our infirmities, all our sicknesses, all our ailments. But do I see it? Do I touch it? What's the atmosphere? Because Jesus said when he went to Nazareth, he couldn't perform many mighty miracles there, but it does say he healed many. So, we went to a school of the power evangelist in 1990, Stuart Grimenz. And this is one of the scriptures he used to put to us. Jesus' words, I tell you the truth. Well, Jesus doesn't lie for a start. So wherever you see that, this is an emphasis. He's getting your attention. Well, Jesus doesn't lie, but I'm telling you the truth. You're listening to me. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. A lot of people say, greater things? How can we do greater things? Well, let's start by doing the things he did. But do I believe I can do them? I grew up in a church environment where really we were told we couldn't do those things. Words. Words affected what I believed about the Word of God and about what I could do. So then when this was brought to me, I'm confronted with an existing belief that these things don't happen anymore and I can't do them. So what am I going to do? Am I going to believe the Word of God or am I going to believe someone else's Word? And this is what you'll be confronted with all the time in your life. Opposing words. This one says this, this one says that. Opinion. Things based on emotions. You see, the Word of God is foundational. It's immovable. And that's what we have to live by. So here's, I have my radio on the ABC News. And I don't know that there's a day goes by where we don't hear something about global warming or emissions. Are you the same? You hear this all the time? Anyone else out there? Hello? Do you hear this stuff? So when you hear it, what do? Nothing. Nothing. Is that right? Nothing. So you just let all those words go out and fill the atmosphere and you say nothing. This is the point. A Christian's words are more powerful than other people's words. You're not looking very inspired. So, climate change. I read an article this week that said there's a chain of islands in the Pacific. I mean, it's really strange islands because their highest point above sea level is 6 metres. And what they're saying is basically, these islands are going to disappear. And it's all because of climate change. And is it 2 degrees or is it 1.5 degrees or is it 2.5 degrees? It's just all the time. Climate change, climate change. Who's in charge of all of this? 3 for God, 4 for climate change. Now, here's the issue. When Christ was raised from the dead, ascended to the Father, and he sat down at his Father's right hand. You know why people sit down? They're not working anymore. They've finished. The work of the cross is complete. End. And he said, now you go. Hugo, you go. You go and do what I've been doing. Isn't that what I just read? The things I did, you will do. And greater things than these will you do. Well, if you don't believe them, you won't do them. Simple as that. So, you've got to ask yourself the question this morning, do I believe or not? Because what's happening is... What's the other things on the news every day? Drought. It's a terrible drought. It's going to be the worst drought we've ever had. Yes, let's reinforce this. Now, we're near at the end. (Clears throat) Let me throw a couple more scriptures that I haven't got on the slides. James has a whole section about the tongue, the power of the tongue, the destruction of the tongue. But in James 1:9 he says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." It's the word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 18:19, "Truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything, two, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." Now, during the week, there was an amazing sunset. And I took some photos and I posted them on Facebook, not something I do very often. But I put the caption, "The heavens declare the glory of God." It's Psalm 19, verse 1. And I went and had a look at this. "The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim." Declaring and proclaiming. Now, if you go to your safari and you do a search on, you could do a search on cosmic sounds, or the one I looked at was northern lights. You know all those beautiful colours? Do you know that makes noise? They've recorded it. But the stars make noise. The sun makes noise. So there's an atmosphere out there of God's creation, declaring, proclaiming. And see, what's supposed to happen is that our voices are supposed to come into alignment and join with God's word and God's purposes. Is that making sense? You're understanding what I'm saying? When we speak, you can take the "we're two on earth," but you're actually agreeing with something. And see, if you agree with something that's out of order, you're only going to reinforce it. Who shuts up heaven? Now, a lot of you wouldn't have been around when this happened. There was a drought back in, well, it was in the early 2000s. And we had done a fair bit of praying about it. We'd done all sorts of praying about it. And John had gone away somewhere and he was doing some prayer projects. But one Sunday morning, I was preaching, and it was over in the middle because it's way back in the beginning of being in this building. And I got a little glimpse of something, and some of you might remember this. And just think about this, be honest. How many of us say things like, "I hope it doesn't rain because the washing's not dry, we're going to the beach, we're going to have a barbecue, I'm on holidays"? Now, let's just be honest. Has anyone ever done that? You're cursing. You're cursing the rain. The words are having power. Don't rain. And so over here, we all repented and asked God to bring rain out of those clouds. If there's clouds in the sky, they've got moisture in them. And that afternoon, we were having a church social at the pool. Does anyone remember this? Really? Come on, give me some encouragement. Tony, you remember it, no? But you don't remember what happened last week. You're going to help. No one over here remember? Shirley remembers, I got proof. So we went to the pool and we're having a lovely time. And we're going to have a barbecue at 5 o'clock. And the kids are in the pool swimming. And And all of a sudden, there's a sound of distant thunder rolling. And it was the weirdest thing. Everyone's eyes just turned and looked at me. Don't say anything. And within about half an hour, I think, is that right? About half an hour, heavens opened and it poured. Now, you could think that was a one-off and it was a fluke and it was going to happen anyway, right? But not long after that, we went to do one of our conferences in a place called Forbes in New South Wales. And we drove. And as we drove through New South Wales, I had never seen such bad-looking country. It was the fields, there wasn't a blade of grass anywhere. It was just dirt. Everywhere was dirt. And when we got to our host place, we sort of said to them, oh, things aren't looking real good. And oh. You know that old poem, "We'll All Be Ruined," said Hanrahan? Who knows that one? "We'll all be ruined," said Hanrahan, "before the year is out." Good confession. Anyway, in the course of talking to the people, they were saying this was the worst drought in living memory. It was just a mess. Anyway, this particular conference was the first time that John didn't stay and do the whole thing. So he flew down, he did a couple of sessions, and then he left Michael and myself to do the rest. And where we were staying was quite close to the church hall where we were doing the conference. And I decided to walk back this particular afternoon. And way, way out in the southwest, there was just a line of black. And I thought, looks like clouds. Anyway, I spoke to the clouds. I said, bring forth your rain. And then when I went back at night, I told the people at the conference about the story of our church praying. And I said, now, at the end of this session, we're going to pray and we're going to confess our sin and we're going to ask the Lord to open the heavens. So we did that, and it was one of these church halls where they have like a supper hall as well. So they were ducked off for supper, and I was talking to someone. Anyway, they come running back in and said, it's raining. Oh, well, good, we prayed. I got a phone call from one of the organisers of that conference. It rained for 2 weeks. The year after, we drove through there and stayed on the way to Melbourne where we did another conference. And honestly, you talk about a transformation. You know, the fields were just lush, crops everywhere. And we stayed with the same people. We said, things looking good. I said, yeah, they're forecasting the best harvest ever. So in 1 year, we go from the worst drought ever, and people might just say, oh, that was coincidence. What do you believe about your words? Well, I'm only just a little old Christian here sitting in Rockhampton. Or do you have the presence of God in you? Because what the devil is always trying to make us believe is we're just some poor little Christian who can't have any effect on anything. When God said this to Solomon, it was when they're dedicating the temple. It's when everything was good. This wasn't in the midst of terrible mess. What he was saying to them was, when in the future I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain. You see, even now, all the news forecasters are basically saying, oh, this summer, not going to be much rain, you know, below average. See, they're already prophesying it over the nation. Every news station running these things. And do we say anything? Or do we just listen and shake our head? My encouragement to you this morning is we need to speak in accordance with the word of God. God is a God who blesses. But he's waiting for people to agree with him. But if all the other words out there are overwhelming, you know, there's a lot of people in this world. A lot of people speaking negativity. A lot of people just... Now, this word can be applied to you personally in your own circumstances. If you are always negative in your confession over yourself, you know, even in the particular circumstance, oh, I can't get a job, I'll never get a job, poor me, you know, this, that, and the other. Well, guess what? May it be unto you as you've said. That's what's going to happen. You've got to start looking to God. God, you're my provider. You open the windows of heaven. Lord, I ask now, you make this provision for me. And then you start looking for it. You don't sit at home. You go looking for it. Lord, where's this opportunity? Where's this blessing that you promised me? It takes effort. It takes getting out of just your comfort zone. So if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. There's a little one you can take home. Align your words with God's word and God's truth so that they create an atmosphere of love and faith around you. We're going to pray. Invite the worship team to come back. My experience in learning things is that there's a struggle. When you first read something, it confronts what your existing belief was. But I need to come into agreement with God. God, you said. God, you said. A lot of people think that's a bit rude or a bit bold, but that's the way we're supposed to approach the throne of grace. It says to approach with confidence, with boldness. And all we're saying is, God, you already said this. So let's stand. So what areas can we confess in? Well, perhaps, well, I'm sure all of us have said negative things or inappropriate things, so we can confess that. We can also confess being silent when we should have spoken. What I want you to consider is, even if you're listening to the news or listening to some professor saying this, that, and the other, if it's contrary to the word of God, put your voice out there. I cut that word off. I refute it in the name of Jesus Christ. I cast it to the ground. Remember what the Apostle Paul said? That he cast to the ground every word that set itself up against the knowledge of God. Every pretension. Everything that would raise itself up against what God has said. He cast it to the ground. So, we're going to confess. You can confess the way you want to confess. But then what we're going to do is we're going to actually ask God to open the heavens over our city, over our region. You know, there's a sense in which we have authority. We can ask for the nation, but this is where we live. We have the right and the power to ask for our city and for our region. So let's take a few minutes just to confess our sins. Lord, we come before you and we acknowledge, Lord, that I've sinned. Lord, I've not always spoken in accordance with your word. Lord, I've said things that have been negative and contrary to blessing. Lord, I shall forgive me for every wrong word, every negative word, every word that would be formed as a curse. Lord, I repent. I ask, Lord, by your Spirit, you'll help me, Lord, to be someone who is in tune with what you are saying. Lord, that I would be your voice, your influence into the atmosphere around me and around where I live. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, it's alive. We thank you, Lord, it's active in our lives. And so, Lord, we come before you today, and we ask, Lord, for our city. We ask for this region. And Lord, in these last few years, there have been many words of a negative nature spoken with regard to employment. and housing. All these things, Lord, there's been a negativity and a dampening. Lord, your word tells us that we should pray, Lord, for the prosperity of the city we live in. So, Lord, we lift our voice and we ask, Lord God, that you would bless Rockhampton.
Yes.
We ask, Lord, you would pour out every good thing upon this city. And, Lord, we stand against every other negative word that is contrary to what you desire. And we ask, Lord, for prosperity to come into every section of our society. Blessing to be upon every area of this city of Rockhampton's life. Now, Lord, we ask you to bring forth rain. Lord, your word says it is you who opens the heavens and it is you who closes it. We would ask, Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon Rockhampton, central Queensland, upon our state, Lord, upon this nation. Have mercy, O Lord God, and forgive us. But Lord, open the windows of heaven and bring forth rain to refresh and replenish. And Lord, we cast to the ground all these other words, all the negativity, Lord, all the doom and despair. No, Lord, we say that you are well able to do what you said you would do. And so, Lord, we look to you. Lord, your word says where two agree on earth. Lord, there's a multitude here. And Lord, we align ourselves with your word. You are the God who blesses. Now we ask, Lord, that you would bless this city, bless this region to your honor and to your glory, O Lord.